George Pickens, the future Steelers wide receiver one. What's the future look like for this kid? Is he the next great Steelers wide receiver? We're here to discuss that more. This kid's 6'3", 200-plus pounds, coming out of Georgia, but he is coming off a major injury. And now we have a special guest coming on today to break this down and more on the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast starting right now. Hey, folks, welcome to another great edition of the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby LaMarco, and we're here to break down George Pickens today going to the Pittsburgh Steelers. We're super excited to break down his impact for year one and in Dynasty. And guess what? We have another great guest who's I'm hoping he just becomes a regular, but we're going to bring him back on, Matthew Jones from the Draft Examiner, in just a moment. But first off, we want to make sure everyone's following us across the board. Make sure you're following us at Razzball Fantasy on YouTube. If you're watching this right now on Periscope on Twitter, jump over to YouTube, hop in the comments, interact with us. We'll have some fun. Also, make sure you're following us across the board at IG and also on TikTok at Razzball Fantasy. A lot of daily content going up on there as well. But most importantly of all, you're going to Razzball.com and checking out all the great articles and the latest on the baseball, football, basketball, and hockey. It's all the great stuff, and we have a bunch of great things happening right now at Razzball.com on the football side. Now, we're done burying the lead. We're here to bring in our special guest today. It's Draft Examiner's own Matthew Jones. What's going on, Matthew?
Hi, Bobby. Good to see you.
Always a pleasure, sir. Always excited to talk ball with you. So today we got you coming in. I like to give my guests the option of which player they want to talk about. Matthew jumped right in and said, let's talk a little bit about George Pickens going to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Know the drill. Let's get right into it. Talk to us a little about what you learned, what you kid.
Yeah, so originally he was a five-star recruit out of Hoover High in Alabama, which is one of their most famous high school programs. It produced some players like Chad Jackson and Marlon Humphrey. And they've won several of the state championships in the 2010s. So he came to Georgia. The first year he was with James Coley as the offensive coordinator, and Jake Fromm was the quarterback, and that was his most impressive statistical season. And the next year he was only in eight games, so there was the shortened season. I think he missed a couple due to injury, and they had a couple different quarterbacks, so his production was a little bit lower. And then 2021 spring camp, tore his ACL. And he only ended up coming back at the end of the season, ended up with just five catches. Kind of seemed like he just wanted to show that he was able to come back on time, maybe reduce some questions during the pre-draft process. Those questions still ended up being raised because teams were worried about his medical. There were like a few rumors that teams thought he was maybe immature or had some character concerns. I have no idea whether those are true or not, although he did get some disciplinary action for like getting into a fight during the Georgia Tech game as a freshman, I believe. And that was a game I believe he was returning from another short suspension for maybe the first half of the previous game due to like a team rules violation. So a lot of people thought, you know, maybe first round talent based on the first season or two. And then when he got hurt and came back, it was became more of a question mark. And so he ended up going in the second round. The Steelers worked him out during the pre-draft process. They had their wide receivers coach, I believe Frisman Jackson, put him through some drills. And then he became, I believe, I want to say the 11th second day wide receiver drafted during the Tomlin era. So that's like, what, 11 out of 16 years or so. Mm-hmm. And so some of those guys have worked out really well. Obviously, they've got a lot of, you know, nice receivers in that window, including the two guys on top of the depth chart right now, which are Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool. And so they're probably hoping that he's going to be as good as Hines Ward, who also came out of Georgia back in, I believe, 1998.
Okay. Now, so based on the injury concerns, like, I guess my thought is the landing spot might be decent for a player like this because you have the established guys on the roster. So what's your thoughts about his long-term health, how he's going to fit with the Steelers because of it? Do you think he was worth the pick where he went?
Yeah, so I think that the Steelers' depth chart is quite interesting right now because they have, obviously, Deontay Johnson is the top guy, and then Claypool is probably going to start the year at least as the number two receiver. But they lost quite a few players during the offseason. So Juju Smith-Schuster left in free agency. Ray-Ray McCloud played like 45 or something percent of the snaps last year. He left in free agency. James Washington was at like 41%, I believe. He left in free agency. So they did also draft Calvin Austin in the fourth round, and he's probably the more direct replacement for McCloud. But you could imagine a situation pretty easily where Pickens beats out someone like Miles Boykin. They just signed him this offseason, but it's a small contract, I think $2.5 million. And he only caught one pass last year. So I don't think he's going to be like a major threat to Pickens on the depth chart. So I'm imagining that Pickens might get those snaps that would have gone to Juju and James Washington.
Okay. Now, my question, though, is there's that the ironic thing about all those wide receivers, those were the top guys in the slot last year for this team. Deontay Johnson played less than 10% of his snaps in the slot. You know, Chase Claypool has not been a traditional slot receiver. And do you think George, I know you just brought up Calvin Austin as more of a direct Ray-Ray McCloud, but is there a shot that Pickens could play in the slot to get on the field immediately, or is he not fit for that?
Well, if you look at the routes that he usually ran and the alignments that he played in at Georgia, so he was basically the split end at Georgia. So he was the X receiver. And at the same time, he probably took, I don't know, 20, 30 snaps in the slot each year. So it wasn't a significant amount. But I think some of his skills and some of the routes that he was running kind of could translate into the slot because, you know, looking at Georgia's offense, it was pretty simple in terms of what routes they had the receivers doing. So I believe between hitches and go routes, those were over half of his targets in college and over half of his catches in college as well, just on those two routes alone. Obviously, both pretty simple ones. There were slants, there were, you know, out routes, there were, you know, some back shoulder throws and posts and stuff like that. But I don't believe he caught 10 passes on any other route besides the hitch and the go route. Now, the Steelers also didn't really throw the deep ball last year. And part of that was probably because of Ben Roethlisberger's, you know, arm. So I don't know that Mitchell Trubisky is really going to be able to throw the deep ball that well either. He hasn't traditionally been, you know, that much of a deep ball thrower. And Kenny Pickett, I feel like, is also more of like a short to intermediate passing game guy predominantly. So I feel like they wanted to get a deep threat. I don't know if that would be running routes from the slot, but it could be an early way for him to get onto the field just because they didn't really have like a field stretching receiver last season. And I think that might be something they wanted to add into the offense.
Okay. So based on some of the things that are going to be happening in the next few off seasons, Deontay Johnson's a free agent in 2023, Claypool the next season. And then really things are going to start opening up because outside of Johnson and Claypool, it is wide open on that depth chart. But if Deontay Johnson walks, do you think that he has the pedigree? It sounds like he did play the X at Georgia. And by the way, he played under Todd Monken, who, by the way, was, you know, the Bucs OC for a while when, you know, Ryan Fitzpatrick had the chain on and he was just throwing it to Sean Jackson. So he does have – there was a pro-style S to that offense a little bit, I guess. But I guess my question is, do you think based on his injury history, based on his type of play – that Deontay Johnson is expendable and he can immediately become that number one target?
I don't know that he's expendable, but I feel like based on how the wide receiver contracts have been going lately, the Steelers might just kind of look at their draft history and they'll think, you know, we found Mike Wallace, we found Emmanuel Sanders, you know, we found Juju Smith-Schuster, you know, some other players like Claypool, obviously. And they might think, you know, if we can get these guys in the second or third round fairly consistently, do we really want to be paying a receiver, you know, $20-plus million dollars? So I don't know if Johnson is necessarily expendable, but I feel like they could try and replace him with someone like a Pickens or another player down the line. Yeah.
Okay. So I guess one of the things I like to always talk about is player comparables and get your feedback on these because Player Profiler does this based on measurables. Now, the first one that pops up is Jerry Jeudy as his direct comp, Jeremy Maclin, and Reggie Wayne. So is any of those guys kind of styles you think are complementary? They work with George Pickens, or is there a player you had in mind for his player comp in the NFL?
You know, I thought of Jerry Jeudy as being more explosive. Obviously, like, the routes that he ran in college were pretty different as well, because he did a lot of, like, crossing routes and, you know, posts and things like that to kind of give him, like, little creases to rip off yards after the catch. I don't think George Pickens is really a huge yards after catch receiver. He mostly wins because I think he has pretty good, you know, releases at the line of scrimmage. He's a pretty competitive guy, doesn't get knocked off the route too much. He can keep his focus, and he makes a lot of, like, contested catches in coverage. So I feel like, you know, the way that he wins is on those contested throws a lot of the time. It's not because he lacks speed, and it's not because he's, like, a poor route runner necessarily, but after the release, there are some times when, you know, he doesn't stack people, or he'll let people, get into the undercut him and get into the catch point and just make it, you know, more complicated for him. And usually he still is making the catches, but, you know, he could do a better job of using his body to shield defenders, and he can, you know, lean into them at the route stem a little bit more, stuff like that, to give himself bigger, you know, easier catches and bigger windows.
Okay. So one of the things I want to talk about before we get into, like, where he's going right now in drafts and get your thoughts on maybe ADP, two things I want to bring up about the Steelers. You did bring up their very rich history in the sense of how good are their day two wide receivers. However, for fantasy purposes, a productive season for NFL purposes might not be productive for fantasy football.
Right.
And so I wanted to look into that. So there was 9 notable wide receivers that were drafted early by the Steelers over the last few years, essentially since Big Ben was in play. Of the 9 notable wide receivers, 3 of them had very productive rookie seasons. Deontay Johnson in 2019, Juju Smith-Schuster in 2017, and Mike Wallace in 2009. So 1/3 of the guys really hit their rookie season for fantasy purposes. But granted, only one of those guys finished inside the top 30 for wide receivers. So just keep that in the back of your mind when you're going to draft. The other thing is the pass volume. Under Big Ben, this offense was so pass heavy that they threw the ball 664 times last year. I don't expect that to continue. Mitch Trubisky's career high 17-game pace, because I expanded it for 17 games, is 584. So right there, you're losing 80 run-heavy offense with Mitch Trubisky. If they decide to go rookies, we all know, just watching Mac Jones last year, he was a very productive NFL quarterback, but they are a run-first team, which you could see that happening with Kenny Pickett as well. So I guess before we dive into ADP, any thoughts about those other rookie receivers? Is there someone maybe historically from the Steelers' recent history that you think is more comparable to a guy like George Pickens?
Mm-hmm. So I don't know that he's going to necessarily be like a Deontay Johnson or Chase Claypool and just jump in and catch, you know, 60, 70 passes this year. It really depends on how satisfied they are with Claypool, because I know last season he didn't really take a step forward. And if they feel like Pickens is more talented already, they might start to move him into kind of the second receiver slot. At the same time, the Steelers have had some other second day picks that ended up breaking out like the second year. Like, for example, Marcus Wheaton had a pretty good second year. Maybe not a particularly impressive fantasy season, but he did see a huge production jump. And then we also had a James Washington had a much better second year than like a few other guys. Like, I believe Emmanuel Sanders didn't break out until like his fourth year,
right?
The end. So I don't know that we'll see a ton of output for Pickens this year. I feel like he would be like someone to maybe make a big second year jump. I could imagine him catching, you know, 40, 45 passes, something like that as a rookie. But then if Johnson leaves, or if they decide that, you know, Claypool didn't make the kind of progress they were expecting in the third season, then that's when you could maybe see Pickens move into one of the primary roles in the offense.
Okay.
So I think maybe the second year, I feel pretty confident that he'd have a bigger role in the offense. But this year, I do feel like he'll get onto the field just because he's clearly the third, you know, one of the top 3 most talented receivers on the roster. And I don't think the knee is going to be a concern right now, just because, you know, he was able to get back onto the field last year. Obviously, they were happy with him at the combine, medicals and everything. So, and sorry, to return to your last question, I forgot to mention some comparisons. I thought that although I didn't like the Jerry Jeudy comparison, I thought that Jeremy Maclin might be an okay comparison. Maybe someone like Marvin Jones, something like that.
Okay, cool. Yeah, all right, let's talk a little quick about ADP before we head out of here. Best ball right now is he got him at 157. That's 65th of wide receivers. And Dynasty has him 11th overall, so that back end of the first. Going ahead of players like David Bell, John Metchie of the Texans, James Cook, and Isaiah Spiller. So based on your thoughts and those kind of names, do you think his draft capital in Dynasty, would you take a first-round pick on him?
Well, I think that David Bell might be more likely to have an early role just because I feel like he's a little bit more of a technician and he has a pretty good chance to, you know, take over some of the snaps that, you know, Jarvis Landry would have had in the past. Not necessarily as a direct comparison in terms of play style, but just in terms of the volume and targets that Landry got. So I don't know that I would take Pickens over Landry, but I'd probably take him over the other players you mentioned. So
Okay.
He's a player where the second year, I feel like he could, you know, potentially see a big jump in his output. Obviously, like the quarterback situation will probably be a little bit more settled next year as well. I'm expecting Trubisky to probably be replaced at some point during the season by Kenny Pickett, if not right away. And at that point, you probably have a pretty good contributor.
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, I kind of agree. I love David Bell. I think he's one of the guys I'll be targeting in the back of my Dynasty first rounds all day. And I do believe the 157th overall is a trap. I am not going to take Pickens in a redraft format. I think I do agree with you. Maybe year two, three is probably his best bet, so maybe more Dynasty leading overall. But that's all we got for today, folks. Once again, this is the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast on the Razzball Fantasy YouTube channel. Make sure you're checking us out across the board at Razzball Fantasy TikTok. Make sure you're jumping on IG. Make sure you're going to razzball.com to check out all the latest. Once again, I want to thank our guest, Matthew Jones from the Draft Examiner. Go check his stuff out on draftexaminer.com and also check out his Twitter, which is Examiner, as well at his handle. So, Matthew, thank you once again for joining us. We do appreciate it, man. Honestly, any last words before we go?
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. All right, once again, I'm your host, Bobby LaMarco. That's Matthew Jones. We're out of here.